I'm not going to talk for too long this morning because we're trying to keep this whole service short, but I have for the younger members amongst us as well. If you want to, there's two separate sheets here of, that's all you'll need for the other side. So take one of each and pass them back. And there's more coloured pencils here if anybody hasn't got enough. They're all things that are related to things I'm going to be talking about, so keep one ear. Not that you need to be listening to get the answers, it's not like that. So what to talk about on the morning of a day when we're going to spend some time talking about our church future, including possible plans for buildings and space of our own. Well, growing up in rural West Lancashire, in a little village that did have shops, but not that many, my parents used to drive into Southport about once a fortnight to go and shop. And walking down the road from the car park where we used to park into the town, we used to pass a small architect's firm, which must have been run by a Christian, because the company motto on the outside of the building: unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labour in vain. Psalm 127, verse 1. Great motto for an architect. They've either gone out of business or moved. I looked on Google Maps this week and they're not there anymore. But it is 20-odd years since I was walking down there. That verse has always been with me, and it's the first verse that came to mind when I thought about buildings this morning. And reading Psalm 127, I came across Psalm 126. I told Karen, was it this week, that I'd realised that Psalm 126 was next to Psalm 127. She sort of looked at me and said, you hadn't worked that out before? But, you know, I realised that the words went together. And I thought we'd take them both together, which is not actually an invalid thing to do, because they were collected together deliberately. They're part of what's called the Song of Ascents, 15 Psalms, 120 to 134 in our Bibles, that were put together deliberately to be used in the worship of the church. So you could say what we're looking at this morning is an extract from a worship block, if we put it in our modern language. All of those psalms have a note of looking forward with hope for what God is going to do. But we're going to begin, actually, by looking backwards, because that's where Psalm 126 begins. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. It's looking back to a past time when Zion, which is one of those technical words, which is a symbol of God's people. It's actually the hill on which Jerusalem was built, but it became a word that was used as a symbol of God's people. When they were not fortunate, things weren't going well. We're not sure when that was, but it was quite probably the time when God's people were carried off as slaves into Babylon in exile. There's other psalms, certainly, that date from that time. Jerusalem, the capital city, had been destroyed. The walls were gone, the temple had been demolished, the people had been carried off. And for a people whose identity was tied up with a physical land and a physical space, this could not have been a more devastating act. Surely God had abandoned them. But he hadn't. Even in the exile, he was there. If you've heard of Daniel in the lion's den, Daniel in the fiery furnace, Daniel and his friends, they were in that place of exile. And God was there with them. And after 70 years, he brought the people back. If you read the Bible, Old Testament books of Ezra and Nehemiah, it tells you the story of how the people came back. The walls of the city were rebuilt. Fantastic passage if you ever want a passage on team effort. They each took a bit and built together these walls. The temple was rebuilt, a little smaller than before, but it was there. And people began to worship again. It's one possibility these psalms were collected together for the first time to rededicate that temple. And as the psalmist looks back to that time, as the fortunes are restored, there's laughter, there's joy, there's testimony of all the good things that God has done, and they can begin to dream again. All of us, this church, human life has its ups and downs. Times where God has felt distant, times where the future has felt uncertain, times where God has restored fortunes and has been times of blessing. We've talked a lot recently about how much God has done for us as a church just in the past 12 months. Physical healings and protection, financial provision, new people coming to worship with us. We've just pinned up a wall of all the things that we are thankful for, of what God is doing in our lives. Now is the time to begin to dream. To begin to dream of what the future might hold for us, of what God might continue to do, so that we can say with that psalmist, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. But even after saying that, the psalmist carries on to pray, restore our fortunes, Lord. There's still more to come. There's still more blessing. There's still a desire for the cooling and refreshing waters of the Spirit of God. Particularly in this psalm, he picks up on the image that's common throughout the Bible, which Jesus used it so many times, didn't he, of a farmer scattering his seed, sowing the seed to bring in the harvest. But this farmer goes out to sow weeping, his eyes full of tears. Because this is a time of barrenness. Perhaps it's the last seed he's got. It's hard to sow at this time. There's no water. There's no chance of more than the barest of harvest to scrape from this seed. And that evening came just as I was beginning to explore the call to preach. And I can't tell you anything else about that service. I know Psalm 126 was the reading. And I know that for 15 minutes, the only thing that went round and round my head, those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. That verse going round and round and round my head. Part of God's call as to what preaching, what ministry sometimes means. But it's not just for preachers, it's not just for ministers. It's for all of us as God's people. We sow the seed of the frustration that we can do so little to change this painfully messed up world. That we can't change people's hearts and minds. That we can't make everything better like we'd like to. At least I hope we do. And one of the things we need to consider today is, are we sowing the seed with tears? Do we feel that urgent need to be spreading the message of Jesus in word and indeed, do we feel the pain and the agony of that? Not the pain and the agony at the fact that we're actually incredibly embarrassed and awkward and wish we didn't have to do it. But the pain and the agony that it's so hard, that there seems to be so little effect. We're going to begin the first session of our discussions today with the question of what God is calling us to, what God is calling you to. And another way, perhaps, of putting that would be, what are you passionate about? What are you weeping over? What do you want to see God doing? Where do you want to see the harvest that God will bring in this world? Because if we're not prepared to shed the tears in the sowing of the seed of the gospel, we won't experience the joy of the harvest. But there is a harvest to come, and that points us finally to the future. One part of which may be our own space, our own building. But we must be careful. We must be careful not to put the cart before the horse. It's not about saying, great, we can have a building, so let's get one. Oh, now we've got one, what are we going to do with it? What is God calling us to dream? What are we passionate about to the point of tears? And then what resource do we need? Physical resource, but people, money, other things. What resource do we need to fulfill that calling? I suspect, personally, that we may feel that our own space will be a useful part of that vision. But we must be careful not just to be following our own inclinations. Not to be like the Israelites who said to Samuel, give us a king so that we can be like the other nations. Give us a building, God, so we can be like other churches. Or actually, God, no, give us a building that's a bit better than the other churches. That'd be quite nice, wouldn't it? Because actually, with what we've already got, we will see in the course of today, we could acquire a building. I believe that. But will it be the right building for the mission that God has for us? Psalm 127, verse 1 doesn't just apply to buildings, but it's a good verse to use in that context. We can do whatever we want in terms of our use of our resources. We can be democratic in our decision making. We can be shrewd with our money. We can be professional in our dealings. We can be bold in our vision. But if it's not God's vision, then it's all in vain. And so the most important session of everything we do today is the 20 minutes we will spend after lunch praying together. And that's deliberately where it is, just before the final session, where we'll consider whether and how we take this forward. Because we need to seek God's voice, so that we can build, whether that's a physical building or a metaphorical building, we can build exactly what, no more and no less, than God wants to build through us. So that he is building the house, and it's not in vain. The songs of ascent, these psalms, may have been first used, as I said, at the dedication of the temple, as the people returned from exile. They returned to a physical space, to the house of God, as it was called, the place where they could worship. And for them, that was vitally important. Because if they didn't have a temple, they couldn't offer the sacrifices. If they couldn't offer the sacrifices, they couldn't worship in the way God had asked them to do. We're in different times. We don't need a particular physical space to worship. Wherever we gather as God's people, filled with his spirit, we are his temple. And so that's the house that we really need God to build. Whatever we decide today about our vision, about our mission, about physical space, about resource, this will be a day of building. A day of God building us into his house, his temple. Built together, brick by brick, just like we've built our wall. Empowered and envisioned with God's mission. Building for a future. A future with the Lord, of whom we can say, with the psalmist, he has done great things for us. And truly, we are filled with joy. Amen.